Chris.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Steve Dale's Pet World.
Hello, welcome to meeting me.
Steve is a certified animal behavior consultant. And he's here to help you.
Why, that's messed up.
You're so wise.
Judge me by my size, do you?
Like a miniature Buddha.
Am I a hero?
Call right now, 866-554-PETS.
I really can't say, but yes.
People like me.
That's right, call toll-free, 866-554-7387.
Oh, you're a pretty little kitty, aren't you?
So I stop you on the street. You know those man on the street interviews that they used to do? So I'm stopping you on the street and I say this. What is the all-American dog? What is your answer?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the Cocker Spaniel.
No, no, no. That's not right. What is your answer, sir?
I think it's the Labrador Retriever.
Well, they are the most popular purebred dog, according to the American Kennel Club. But what do you think that the most common dog is?
The mutt.
Well, yeah, the mutt, but a particular kind of mutt. A mutt that we look at and call a pit bull. And yes, most of them, the overwhelming majority, are nothing but mixed breed dogs. They are mutts. But they have this image, this perception. Is it wrong? Is it right? We're going to find out. We're going to talk to the author of a book who looked at all of this. The name of the book is simply called Pitbull, The Battle Over an American Icon. In addition to that, we're going to talk about another icon, one with six legs. They're called fleas. I don't know. It's the best transition I could think of. A veterinary dermatologist will be here to talk about those things that make our pets scratch. And also, we just rolled by a national holiday, Take Your Dog to Work Day. Is this a good idea? I mean, really taking your dog to work? Not only do I think it is, but most of you think it is as well. And we have some data, and we'll go over that. But most of all, we are here for you, for your telephone calls, to answer your questions. As the man said in the introduction, I am a certified animal behavior consultant, so I'm qualified. I'm able to help you. At least I want to try. So give me a shot. 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. In Illinois, Judy, you are on the radio. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
What's happening?
Well, I'm calling on behalf of a friend who adopted a cat from a humane society in California.
Mm-hmm.
And she really bonded with this kitty. But kitty had some bad habits.
Okay.
A female cat, 8 months to a year. She started scratching the furniture, so and she has some really nice things. So they covered lots of things in plastic, including the legs of some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started urinating on furniture they discovered.
Okay.
And the straw that broke the camel's back was she urinated on her husband's precious leather chair.
Oh, okay.
And
now, Judy?
She returned her to the SPCA.
Okay.
It broke her heart.
Judy, this friend of yours, her name isn't Judy, is it?
No, it's not me.
Okay,
it isn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I have two cats, two boys, and they're just fine.
So
and
yes, go ahead, you're getting
what
there.
What caused this? I mean, like, was she, like, I said maybe she doesn't like men.
No. The scratching is just because cats scratch. And,
right.
You know, this kitten, it was a little kitten, could have easily been taught how to scratch in the right places if she had provided those right, quote-unquote, places for the cat to scratch. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. If she provided a scratching post in the first place, or more than one, and encouraged the kitten to use that, and if for some reason the kitten still began to periodically scratch at other things, she could have deterred this kitten just by covering those other things to make it impossible for the kitten to scratch. I mean, that would have been an easier one. Now, as far as the urination on items, I don't really know. I mean, it has nothing to do with him. Are there other cats or kittens in this house?
Oh, there was.
Okay, so
Her kitty passed away.
Oh, all right. But
at the age of 19.
Okay, but at the time this kitten was brought in, was there another cat in the house?
No.
All right. I don't know for sure what was going on. It could have been any number of things. Could have been the litter box not being cleaned often enough. It could have been the location of the litter box. It could have been that the kitten, just because the litter box was so far away, needed another litter box to get to as well. Kittens only have so much control, just like little kids only have so much control. It could have been anxiety related. I just don't know, because I don't know any of the specifics.
Mm-hmm,
unless
right.
This guy did something to her, there would be no reason for the kitten not to like the guy in the house. And if the kitten didn't, it would be more fear than I'm going to keep away from him. It's not going to. Mm-hmm. Kittens don't think, I know that's his favorite chair and I'm going to pee on it. That doesn't happen. So I don't know what did happen. I can't say, you know, but it's a shame. And now this kitten
really is
already entrenched in the habit for whoever
right.
the new owner is on scratching wherever the kitten happens to scratch. It could be dealt with for sure.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, it could have been a medical issue. With little kittens, they get urinary tract infections. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't that. You know, she had been checked out at the vet.
Well, no. I mean, she had been checked out at the vet at what point, and then she had the kitten home for a few weeks or whatever the period of time was. It doesn't take long to develop a urinary, unless she'd been doing this from day one. If the kitten had been doing this from day one, I wish your friend would have called me or someone, anyone, for help. Asked her veterinarian, would have been the right person, and say, well, and I'm glad you call for a lot of reasons. So.
Mm-hmm.
This poor little kitten is paying the price for an owner. I'm not blaming the owner for the kitten's behavior, but I am blaming your friend for not getting help, because help is available. And with some help, the scratching part would have been, for someone who's professional relating to cat behavior or a veterinarian, that should be a no-brainer. For the inappropriate elimination, that involves further questioning, but it could have been solved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know this kitty had been returned more than once, I believe.
Well, it could be anxiety based too. I mean, if you're a little baby and someone takes you and then says, "I don't want you anymore," and then someone else takes you and says, "I don't want you anymore," and you know, that's a tough way to live, and that's unfortunate. Adopt this kitty if you can.
Well, she's in California and I'm in Illinois.
Move.
Huh?
Move.
I would dearly love to. trust me.
You'd rather be in California, is that what you're saying? Well, listen, I'm sorry I don't have a specific... I don't blame you for that part of it. I don't have a specific answer. I feel badly, because I'm sure your friend felt she was doing the right thing and felt horrible and bonded with this kitten. But I'm telling you,
if she had gone, if she had reached out for help in the right place, she would have gotten that help, and this kitten wouldn't have needed to be returned.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It really is.
But, you know, behavior problems are the number one reason why animals die in this country. It is not cancer. It's not heart disease. It's bad behavior, or what we perceive as bad behavior, when in fact this kitten or any dog or cat behaving badly, or bird, pet hamster for that matter, they're just trying to cope, you know, the only ways they know how. There's no malice involved. They're not being bad on purpose, of course. They're just trying to deal with whatever situation they're given, with whatever emotions and circumstances they find themselves in. And it's unfortunate that she didn't get help, because, as I say, it's out there. And all right, well, I thank you very much for the call, because maybe we all learned a little something, and it's a reminder that help is available. So the good news is she adopted this kitten, but in the end, didn't do the kitten any good. Of course, you can check out my blog, and that is at stevedale.tv. And I write about all sorts of things, including the idea of taking your dog to work. Is it a good idea? And what about taking your cat to work? What? Can that be? Well, I have some statistics about what all of you think about this next. It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry. A new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat!
Please go first.
My mouth parts are watering.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
If you've got pets, he's got answers. If you've got a problem that's lasted over 4 hours, you're calling the wrong show. Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, I would agree life is better with pets. But at work, what do you think? Well, Purina did some research about that and thought, okay, we're going to ask businesses, we're going to ask pet owners what they think about all this. And here's some of the data they've come up with. So 8 in 10 employees at pet-friendly workplaces, those places where you can, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes every Friday is take your dog to work day, they say that having a pet at the workplace makes them feel happier, more relaxed, and more social and happier at the workplace. Most employees, 63% in pet-friendly workplaces, indicate that they're really satisfied with their work environment, and that nearly twice as many of those in the workplace where pets are not allowed. So the number is half that where pets are not allowed in the workplace. But of course, in the real world, most workplaces don't allow pets. So is it a good idea? 4 in 5 pet owners in pet-friendly workplaces own a dog, and almost 3 in 5 own a cat. But of course, in reality, most people have a pet. I mean, most people, you know, there are more pets than there are kids in America. Now, for workers at pet-friendly employers, having their pets at work was ranked the second in terms of most valuable work benefits, ranking higher than free coffee. Can you believe that? And both small and tech-focused companies have been
most interested in doing this. Employees in pet-friendly workplaces trend slightly younger, no surprise, with two-thirds of employees under the age of 45. Almost 9 in 10 people at pet-friendly workplaces agree that bringing their pet to work strengthens the bond with their pet. 3 in 5 of those who want to take their pet to work and want a pet-friendly policy say they would make it happen personally if they could, if their employer encouraged them to do it. Just some of the data out there. And if you want information on pet-friendly workplaces and maybe how your workplace can become pet-friendly, here's a website to go to. It's purina.com/pets at work. Coming up next, a dog that's had a roller coaster history. It was pretty consistent decade after decade after decade, only in relatively recent years has it changed. I'm talking about dogs that we call the Pit Bull. The author of a book called Pit Bull will be here.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Steve Dale's Pet World. A real pet expert giving advice about real pets. Yeah, we're keeping it real.
The name of the book is appropriately called, or inappropriately called, which we'll explain, Pit Bull, The Battle Over an American Icon. And the author is Bronwyn Dickey. First of all, Bronwyn, thank you very much for writing this book, because it's really important. There are so many myths about dogs that we look at and we call pit bulls, and I think it starts with the fact that we look at them and call them pit bulls in the first place.
Exactly, and that was one of the biggest struggles I had when working on the book, is pretty early in the research, I realized that we weren't talking about one breed of dog. People always say the pit bull breed, and yet even if you're talking about purebred pit bull type dogs, there are at least 4 breeds. So there's that, but most of the dogs that we refer to as pit bulls, it's really a shorthand for a shape of dog that might have a blocky head or might have a brindle coat. And so this whole idea of pit bull, though there are purebred pit bulls, the whole idea is more of a kind of a, I mean, it's more of an idea than an actual dog.
Yeah, and many genetic tests have been done. So I've been saying what you just said for years now, and now there are genetic tests that can demonstrate that what you say is right. So a dog that you see at an animal shelter that we call a pit bull is almost always going to be a mixed breed dog, probably there is even no pit bull in the dog, but because of the mix of genetics in that soup pot, it just turns out the dog looks that way. But in dogs, phenotype, what a dog looks like, doesn't necessarily match genotype, which is what a dog genetically is, which is kind of the fancy way of saying it. What you also talk about a lot in the book is the history of these dogs that have this certain look. And many of them back in the day were truly pit bull breed dogs that were in the movies, that we used in advertising, when television came along, that were on television. And some of them, like Sergeant Stubby, were downright heroes of war.
Right. And the kind of the ironic thing about this is that they were so iconic because they were so generic in a way. They were just seen as kind of the unfussy all-American dog, the dog with the patch over his eye. And some of those dogs from American iconography and Hollywood were purebred pit bulls, and some were kind of like today, just mutts that looked a certain way. But because of that generic quality, all these dogs get lumped into a category, and then they get held to the same types of epidemiological and behavioral standards of dogs that are bred to, like, a serious, bred for behaviors, bred for to a very, I guess, rigorous behavioral standard as, like, a show dog would be. And that's not really fair. It doesn't provide us with good statistics. It doesn't illuminate anything interesting about behavior. It just kind of creates a huge mess. Well before anyone had ever heard of Rin Tin Tin, the dogs of Hollywood were always pit bull types because they were thought to be friendly and kind of all-American, and also they had these kind of smiling faces. So they were never cast as menacing dogs. They were always cast as comic sidekick dogs. So the fact that we've changed our perception of them based on who we kind of associate with the dogs, it was really revealing part of the research for me.
And that's exactly where I want to go next. So what went wrong?
The short version is that there were always groups of people who kind of looked down their noses at this shape of dog because they've always been associated with the working class, and how we feel about the dog has changed with how we view the working class, especially in America. So during the Depression, that, you know, they were held up as icons, the working Joe, et cetera. But then when there were more kind of class struggles in the 60s and 70s, racial tensions obviously came into play. All these things were happening, and there was a lot of social upheaval. We began to kind of treat them as pariahs, the people, especially the people in power, did. So as people who were poor and sometimes, you know, afraid for their own safety began to get various types of dogs to protect themselves, that the dogs became scapegoated and kind of proxies for the people.
And they were also owned by bad guys, and it became a big thing for the gangs, kind of a cool thing. So it was a cool thing in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and into the 70s for sure, to have these dogs in Hollywood. But somewhere it changed, it turned, and you write about that in your book, Pitbull, The Battle Over an American Icon. It's a great read. Brownwyn Dickey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Steve.
We're always standing by to take your call at 866-554-PETS or email steve@petworldradio.net.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Biz Talk Radio. Biz Talk Radio.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Oh, don't worry. He's been fixed. Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Our phone numbers are... Actually, it's one phone number. Here, let me explain. 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. You see, one is you look at the letters, and the other, you just dial the numbers. 866-554-PETS. Jim in Florida, did I just make any sense or confuse people more?
You made plenty of sense.
Well, that's a rarity for sure. How can I help you, sir?
Well, we have two rescue dogs. They're about 3 years old. One is a full poodle. He's about 26 pounds. And the other is a poodle Bichon mix, and she's about 12 pounds.
A standard poodle is 26 pounds?
Yeah, he's a big miniature poodle.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. All right, and what's your question?
My question is, it seems that the female, who is the little one, seems to have some accidents right near her crate, right in front of it, as a matter of fact. I suspect that she's had some accidents in other areas of the house in the past, but it just seems like lately she's had some accidents like right in front of the crate. And I'm wondering whether... we let them out you know, that has no bearing on whether or not she's going to. I think it's her. I don't know that it's not him because, you know, usually when a male goes, it's all over the place.
It's hey,
concentrated
watch it.
In one area.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether or not she's doing this out of spite. We treat the dogs very well. We groom them ourselves. I mean, they're beautiful animals. And I'd just like to see if I can get a little help to some suggestions on how I might be able to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She had both of the animals are 3 years old.
Okay. And does this happen? So is she crated when you're not home?
Yes.
And does this happen more often when you get home and the dog immediately piddles, or does she do this randomly throughout the day?
It's just something random.
Okay.
And my wife is a cancer patient, and occasionally we go away for a day to the hospital and then come home. And we have people that let her out, but there's no rhyme or reason as to why this occurs.
Well,
maybe spite.
No.
You're not around.
Nope. Could be anxiety because you're not around, but dogs don't do things for spite. So that I can eliminate. I mean, she may be upset at the change. Dogs like routine. She may be wanting you there more, but she's not actually thinking, I'm bad at them, and I'm going to pee all over the place. How would a dog know that pee would even upset us?
Yeah, I guess she had a point there. And this little girl, she will be by my side sitting in the chair. She has to have that body contact.
Sure.
If we're lying in bed, she'll crawl under the covers and make that body contact. So, you know, she does have that, you know, tie with us.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. So here are some possibilities. First of all, I do want you to take your dog to the veterinarian to rule out the unlikely, to be clear, prospect that this may be medical. What's more likely are these possibilities. First of all, small dogs sometimes just aren't taken out often enough. You know, their bladders are only so big. Also, house training in small dogs can be iffy in the first place for some people and some dogs. So I wonder a couple of things. I wonder if your dog is potentially not going out enough. And when you gotta go, you gotta go. And oftentimes dogs will go to the same place because they smell that they've gone there before and it becomes that place. So certainly use an odor removing product because that will prevent encouraging the dog to go back to the same place, but it doesn't solve what created the problem in the first place, which is what we have to kind of figure out somehow.
Yeah.
So
We have, I'm sorry, we have a pen downstairs, and we just open the door right by the dog's crates, and when it's time for them to go, they just go on down, and they have an area that, you know, they frequent, and, you know, I maintain the cleanliness of that area, but there's a fenced-in area at the bottom of the stairs, so we do let them out quite often.
And
she'll just mill around upstairs on the veranda rather than going down to take care of business.
So you've kind of potential. Is this in the house, the place where they go?
It's in the backyard.
Oh, okay. So here's what I want you to do from now on. I want you to take your dog out on a leash and to make sure your dog has actually piddled.
Right.
I'd suggest you do that maybe even before the veterinary visit. Give this a try. Make sure that your dog has actually peed. If so, treat your dog like a puppy. Say, oh, you're the most wonderful, good dog, hooray, and give your dog a treat instantly.
Right.
And try to also take your dog to the same place or really within inches so that place in your backyard becomes the dog's bathroom.
So
just like you would a puppy, take your dog out as consistently as you can given your schedule. Reward your dog instantly for going when she goes. Say something, by the way, when she goes. Two things, actually. Say, good girl, but also give it a word. Give it good potty, good piddly poopy, or whatever you say. Give it some terminology, which comes in handy, by the way, on rainy days, because then you can say go potty or go piddly, and your dog will go instantly. It's a handy thing to have. If your dog doesn't go, and I'm sensing it's conceivable that half the time your dog's not going to go within 5 minutes, then bring your dog back in the house. You got a loaded weapon there, though. So tie your dog to you, tether your dog with a leash to you, or literally walk around the house with your dog on, holding the leash on the other end of the leash. So you could see if she begins to squat, you scoop her up and you take her right outside, and then you go through the routine I suggested. Reward your dog big time, praise her, all those things for going potty. If in 5 minutes or maybe 10 or 15 minutes she hasn't gone, then go back outside. You know she's got to go, probably. So go back outside to the same place like I described and do the same thing again. If she doesn't go, back in the house and then back outside in 10 minutes after that. Okay. Now, our lives don't always allow that, but to the best of your ability, try that. My point is, I'm guessing that given the opportunity, your dog's just having a good time in the backyard and isn't always peeing, comes back in the house, and at some point, you got to go, you got to go, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Thank you for your advice, and we'll try a little behavioral change there, and we're very grateful for this advice.
Well, let me know what happens, because if it doesn't work out, then I've always got more. Coming up next, another way to reach me. Email steve@petworldradio.net. This question is about a dog that's piddling, but we're not talking about house training because the dog is 14 years old. My reply next. It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat!
Please go first.
My mouth parts are watering.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, wildfires. It's a dangerous time of year. Planning ahead and having your pets microchipped could save their lives. Help protect your pets by visiting the veterinarian before storm season gets underway for a simple and inexpensive procedure to implant a microchip. Then your pet's microchip number and your contact information must be enrolled in a national secure recovery database such as Home Again. Safety for your pets and security for you. Please visit homeagain.com.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
So one question I get asked a lot is when I hear about organizations, great organizations like Canines for Warriors. They're an organization that saves dogs and then hooks up these dogs in rescue to veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder syndrome. How can we help? Well, one way is to just buy dog food. Merrick dog food throughout the month of July at pretty much any place this food is sold. Merrick Backcountry Heroes Banquet Dry Food, and the money, in fact, goes to Heroes. You can learn more about that next week on the show or check out our website. That is petworldradio.net. Also next week on the show, we are talking about ticks and tick disease, so much so that we will have a lesson. Yes? A lesson from a veterinary parasitologist.
Three simple words.
You got mail.
Woo-hoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
And that's exactly what Bonnie in Arizona did. Steve, my 14-year-old Cocker Spaniel, has started piddling on my bed. What's up with that? Her drinking habits remain the same. She recently had a physical and seemed okay, though she is going deaf. Do you have any ideas?
Yes, I have many ideas. The first question I have, is your dog only having accidents when you're not home? If that is the case, your dog could have separation anxiety. Now, separation anxiety in older dogs could get worse over time. So if your dog, here's what I'm saying, if your dog has had some history of mild separation distress, you know, being more than most dogs would be anxious about you leaving, but not so much so that it really causes a problem. I mean, your dog isn't destructive, doesn't have accidents when you're gone. No dog is happy to see us go, but a dog that's a bit more anxious than your average dog. And sometimes it actually does worsen as a dog ages. So that's a possibility. One of the reasons for it worsening could be canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome. And one of the symptoms of that is a dog that loses house training. Now, canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome is like Alzheimer's in people. And it worsens over time. So this could be the very beginning of this, or you may see other signs. So a dog that appears confused, a dog that is sleeping in odd hours, yes, more often than you might expect, even for an older dog, but also the sleep-wake cycle isn't quite right. So a dog that might be getting up in the middle of the night, a dog that is sleeping far more than normal during the day. All of these are signs, but one of the signs or symptoms is a dog that you know is house-trained that's having accidents. Now, having said all that, what you do need to do is go back to your veterinarian and, first of all, go over the medical possibilities. So, listen, if you've got a dog that's up in bed, especially a smaller dog like a Cocker Spaniel, which is what you have, and your dog feels the need to go, but it hurts to get up, it hurts to jump off the bed, well, maybe it just hurts too much and it's just easier for your dog to do it right there. You know, just like older people, older dogs sometimes take the easiest route. And if I could pee right here, and if it hurts me to do the alternative, even though at some level they know that's not what they're supposed to do, they may do that. So it really could be a combination of factors that's causing this. But you need to go to your veterinarian and definitely, definitely have a discussion about canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome. There is medication for that that can slow down the progression. Just like in Alzheimer's in people, there's no absolute overnight cure, but there are things that can be done to help your dog. One is lots of products. One is a product called Nutrix, but there are many out there, and there's even a drug called Anapril, but again, it varies from dog to dog as to what to do, so I kind of want to stop there, and we don't even know that that's what's going on with your dog for sure. So once again, best answer for you is to see your veterinarian, but do ask about canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome. One more thing, provide a ramp for your dog to go up to the, I mean, your dog's a 14-year-old dog anyway, so no matter what is going on, provide a ramp. You could buy these at pet stores or online that your dog can literally walk up to the bed, teach your dog how to do it. There's no jumping on and off, and this might solve the problem in of itself if it's just a matter of it hurts too much to get down from the bed. The other thing, of course, close the bedroom door so your dog isn't on the bed in the first place, you know. But I know, our dogs like to be up there, and it smells like you, and it's soft, it's cushy. I don't blame you, and your dog's always been up there. I know it. I understand. Email me your questions to steve@petworldradio.net. Coming up next, we continue a conversation from last week about fleas and cats. You will not believe what veterinary dermatologist Dr. Eva Schmidt has to say.
Now, the club for Biz Talk Radio listeners and your biz. The Biz TV Club is where you can watch some of your favorite Biz Talk Radio hosts and others on the go, on demand, on Android, desktop, Roku, and more. Never miss an episode of your favorite Biz TV shows and have the 24/7 Biz Talk Radio stream at your fingertips. Watch anytime, anywhere for just $5.95 a month with a free trial by using promo code RADIO. Go to BizRadioClub.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-425-1023. That's 800-425-1023.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
Veterinary dermatologist Dr. Eva Schmidt is here to talk about, yes, a favorite topic of yours, I believe, fleas. And I want to talk about cats specifically because people don't make that connection. We think about dogs, mm-hmm. We might think about people, but we don't think about cats. Now, fleas are not benign. There are also, so there's very famously cat scratch fever, and then there are other problems. There's a long list of them, really, that fleas can cause. But I think the most common is called flea allergy dermatitis. Have I got the name right?
Yes, so that's when a cat is allergic to fleas. And just like a person who's allergic to peanuts, if one peanut touches your food, you might not even see that peanut. You're going to have a reaction. And this is something that's really important for owners to understand, because you might not actually see these fleas that are on your cat because you do a good job with bathing and vacuuming in the environment. But if a cat is particularly sensitive to fleas, then even one bite with a cat that is sensitive can cause lots of inflammation, and then the cat licks and scratches and bites and chews and pulls its fur out, and then you have problems with infection. And that's really terrible, because then the cat is going to need medications to treat its inflammation, including possibly steroids, and then antibiotics to treat the bacterial infection. And so what would be really great is if we could prevent the flea bite in the beginning by using strict, consistent, year-long flea medicine, so that we're just eliminating the exposure and preventing these cats from having to deal with all these secondary problems.
A lot of our cats sleep in our beds with us.
Mm-hmm.
So if the cat is up all night scratching,
then you're up all night.
You're up all night as well. If the cat is up all night or is scratching a lot during the day, we're talking about hair loss, perhaps. And it's not only cosmetic. It really does matter. I mean, we're talking about a whole lot. You mentioned bacterial infections that can result. So when we get a mosquito bite, we itch and itch and itch, but at some level, we try not to.
Right.
These cats don't have that ability.
They don't know that the more that they itch and lick and scratch, the more they're exacerbating the site. So the more that that goes on, the higher chances that that cat is going to need antibiotics. And people are, you know, they're very worried that flea medicine, I don't want to give my cat a medication if he doesn't need it. I don't see fleas, so I don't think he needs it. But veterinarians will always tell you that we're not worried about the safety of veterinary prescribed flea medications. What we are worried about is the safety of medications to treat the secondary effects. When you have a flea that's transmitting diseases, not only to your cat, but also in some cases to the rest of the family.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, so it's a lot better to prevent the problem before it starts than have to treat the secondary consequences.
In an effort to save money, in an effort to avoid going to the veterinarian, to be honest, in an effort just to make life easier, you know, people will go to a big box store and they'll choose a product based on, oh, it's purple packaging, I
yeah,
like that.
Sure.
Or I could reach this one, I can't reach that one. Or this one is on sale. Or what I saw a TV commercial for a certain, whatever decision they make, but it's not based on what is medically appropriate for their cat, for the combination of pets that they have in their home.
And that can be really dangerous. When we're talking about cats, there are flea medications that are specifically made for dogs and labeled for dogs, which contain an ingredient called permethrin, which is very safe for people and very safe for dogs. And it comes in, you know, clothing that you would buy to repel mosquitoes, and we use it for our own mosquito repellent. But it is very toxic to cats if cats eat it. And unfortunately, people sometimes they either don't read the box or they're trying to save money and they just buy a product made for a dog and distribute it amongst eight cats. And when cats lick the permethrin products off of their backs, you can have really serious problems.
Very.
So that would be an example of a case where you could have a serious problem from a flea medicine. But outside of that, when you're using newer veterinary prescribed flea control, the incidence of side effects is really negligible, and it is far worse to get fleas and the manifestations that go along with flea allergy dermatitis than it is to just use an appropriate product every month as recommended by the veterinarian.
And the other thing that drives me crazy is these marketing terms like all natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some of the products work well,
right.
but you work 85% well against fleas. That's like nothing.
And just because something is natural actually doesn't mean that it's not toxic. So, for example, things like garlic and onions can be toxic to pets, and they're natural. So it's, I think, really difficult for clients sometimes when they're looking at a box of, you know, something on the shelf and they're not having the guidance of their veterinarian to pick the right product.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Dr. Schmidt, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets. They'll be good to you. We'll talk to you later.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
BizTalk Radio.